Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 episode 51. Today we're going to do steroids recomping with Paraformon. This is going to be the part 2 episode. Check out the part 1, which was Evolutionary Hardcore 2.0 number 50. Today we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to talk more about recomping, of course. We're also going to talk about training and diet and using anabolic steroids in with your training and diet. And here's the thing too, we're going to talk about injectables in this podcast, all the Paraform injectables that you can use for specifically recomping, because they have everything you need across the board, but specifically we're going to talk about recomping in this one. It's going to be a real treat because Mobster is going to be here, and Mobster is going to get in depth about training specifically for recomp, because it may be a little different, and we're going to get his opinion on it. We're going to get my opinion on that and talk about diet, obviously, of course. And we're also going to talk more about Paraforma and why we love Paraforma so much. So, you know, let's get right into it, Mobster. And, you know, let's first touch a little bit on the housekeeping here before we get into start talking about specifically the steroids. So first, I want to talk a little bit about Paraforma and give you some facts. I'm going to give you three facts behind Paraforma before I bring in Mobster. And the first fact I want to say is that Paraforma products have been around for over 12 years. And they have tons of reviews from very experienced users who know what good gear is all about. And that's important because those are the users who you can tap into and you could trust because they've been around the block. They know what bad gear is. They know what good gear is. The second fact is Paraforma has certificates of analysis, which Mobster is always bringing up on these podcasts, but I wanted to bring it up first so you guys understand. And the thing about them is they're recent. They're over the past year, year and a half. They show the products were tested independently and accurately as what they say they are. Now, let's say hypothetically, you say, oh, you know what? I don't trust 1 and 2. You know, I'm saying 1 and 2 doesn't matter to me. That, you know, all sources say that. Okay, well, the third fact is, and this is undisputable, and this is something you can't argue. You come on the forums, and you can actually see this, is that the products have been independently tested by forum members anonymously out of that person's pocket. It's not like Paraforma came on the forum and said, you know what, raise your hand if you want gear. I'll send it to you, and you can use it for your cycle, but post up the results you get from it. And then they could send you, sources do that all the time, and then they can send you selectively send you steroids that they know are good and then sell other people bad steroids. But Paraforma didn't do that here. It was an independent person on the forum who is a kind of a pain in the ass, by the way. I mean, sorry, dude, if you're listening, but you are sometimes a pain in the ass on the forum, and he's always trying to get people in trouble, sources in trouble, moderators in trouble, other members in trouble. He's one of those, you know, the kids on the playground like that, but he's looking to find something wrong. And he got the Paraforma products tested across the board, bunch of products without them knowing. And he was like, shit, I can't find anything wrong with this. It's dosed where it needs to be dosed, and the products are good. He didn't just get it lab maxed or whatever, or use those kits to test it. He actually sent it out to an independent lab to have the products tested correctly in a university lab setting. It wasn't like he got one of those stupid kits online that are not accurate. So he got it actually tested out of his own pocket. He has money. He said he worked in the financial sector or something for years. So he has extra money to do stuff like that because he wants to know, number one, are these people on the forum pulling my leg when they recommend a brand? And number two, is this stuff really good? He's like, I want to know if they're good. I have the money. I have the means to do it. So this is undisputable evidence that Paraforma stuff are on point, and we cannot deny any of that. So, Mobster, touch on those three facts and touch on your opinions more about Paraforma.
Yeah, let me just address what you said there for a second there, Steve, because quite simply, sometimes we'll have people that question the science. We try to present on the forums the most up-to-date information. We keep it real simple and straightforward. We try not to express too much of the way of opinions. Obviously, when it comes to PED use, you're going to have variations from one individual to the next. But for the most part, as per this podcast, the information we give out is going to apply to 90-95% of our listening audience. It's only the freaks and the outliers that might not get the kind of results that we typify when we talk about these things. It's fine. Sometimes it's fun to have the arguments, the back and forth, because it stretches you a little bit and it makes you go off and refresh your memory and so on and so forth. But when it comes sometimes down to approved sources, when we can go, right, we understand that there are forums where people will put paid reviews, where a source will create its own reviews. As Steve said, well, selective scammers will send out a great product and then they'll slowly but surely start sending out crap product, but people are buying it on a reputation they built 5 minutes before and so on, right? And when you get these kind of questions, and it's on the regular, that's the problem. It's not just there now and again, and it's on the regular from one or two individuals. You know, who listen, you've got, there's a 5 million post on X and Y and Z, and you come along and you're asking about X, Y, and Z again. Just look at the information we've already provided. Look at the reviews that's already out there. Don't trust us. Go off and look on other sites and other forums and see the same reviews. And this especially applies to Parapharma. And then you come back, right? And then Steve and I have covered in depth why we specifically like Parapharma, like Steve said, with certificates analysis, etc. Look, number one, I've used Parapharma products. Steve's used Parapharma products, and our experience was positive. There's no mucking around. There's no escaping that. This isn't just us doing something and saying something. We can specifically say, hand on my chest, I have used Parapharma, and I had positive results. Okay? We can look. I don't even have to say that they're there. You can go and look for yourself and find these certificates of analysis. And then finally, if like the person that Steve's referring to, and in a one way they're great, but in another way, as we said with the questions already, so to speak, is a pain in the ass, only for asking what we already know the answer to, but they feel the need to prove it to themselves. So that way they're gold, because as Steve said, they spent, I'm going to say close to $1,000, as I said in part one, went off with a bunch of approved sources, including Parapharma, from approved sellers, and tested the product, and everything came back positive. It's very much a case of, Steve, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, I told you so. You know, I think there's an element of like some sort of, and we used this analogy before, the back in the day analogy of the guy selling you steroids out of the bag in the trunk of his car. And I use this, I put it this way. I said, a person that's going to sell you drugs, and I'm thinking specifically recreational and narcotics, et cetera, is always going to big up their product. Always. And what quite often happens with gin dealers is they will sell you what they got. So they'll say, you don't want any amphate, you want cipionate. Cipionate's the way to go now, motherfucker. And all they've got in their bag is cipionate. Well, of course they're going to big up cipionate. So the problem is, for some people, it's like, I've been stung once, I don't want to get stung again. So they'll say, Steve's me, mobster, what's that? And we'll go, oh, Parapharma's a great company, highly recommended, we've used their subject earlier, but I'd best go and check it for myself. Fine, motherfucker, go and check it. Spend your $1,000. And what happens? He couldn't find anything wrong with anything that we'd recommended on the forums. All the approved services, including Parapharma, came back as legit. There was a few percentage either way, and I've addressed that in part one. And I even like that percentage deviation. So this is a situation, right? And you build up. I've used this thing with the whole recreational drug dealing. You get to rob someone once. You don't get to rob them again. Purely and simply because they got stung once. So you're losing money in the long term. You gain a few bucks by robbing them the first time, and the next time there's nothing for you to steal. Long-term business works on the basis of long-term reputation, putting out a consistent product. Think of all the very biggest name brands you've got in the world. Let's put Pepsi Cola, Coca-Cola, whatever, Kellogg's Corn Flakes, anything you like, and the product must be consistently good, not just today, not tomorrow, but for decades. And on the rare occasion they fucked it up, they've had to go back to the original formula because people went crazy. They trusted the product, to be what it is. Now, we're injecting these products, we're swallowing these products, orals and injectables, into our body. And we want that company to be as close to a pharmaceutical giant as possible. And to not only do that for today or for tomorrow, and as I said before, for labs that have lasted 9 months, companies that have been and gone, companies that are split up so you don't know which version of that company you're dealing with. No, Parapharma has been around, coming up, I think it's 13, nearly 14 years now. And you do that and you are consistent in the market, not just on the Evo family of forums, but across a bunch of forums with different access to grants and different sponsors and different approved sources. And yet Parapharma still rates highly on those other forums. And you do that, like the big name brands I've mentioned already, by being consistently good for a long fucking time. So that my experience and Steve's experience, which were different time spans, a couple of years apart, I believe, were solid. That you go on the forums and you check out people that use their products 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and the same responses, the same positive response, the same positive results are coming back again and again and again. That sort of thing is super, super important. Now, let me move on to, I'm going to give you a little bit more detailed information in terms of recomposition. So yesterday, I covered the sort of magical fairy godmother, pro-genetic freak kind of version. And then we said a little bit more realistically was, you know, losing a little body, bit of body fat, going down a few inches on your waist size, on your belt notches, whatever, and adding a little bit of muscle tissue. That was the reality, right? So there's certain situations, and this is sometimes how studies were coming across it, and sometimes how magazine supplement companies used to do this stuff. So, for example, there was the tricks they used to do with regards to photography and baggy clothing and tans and so on. But one of the things you could do, it's almost instantaneous. You literally don't have to lose any body fat whatsoever. You just add muscle tissue. And on paper, you have changed the percentage of body fat in relation to muscle and the lean muscle mass in relation to your whole body mass. So arguably, you have recomped. But what we really mean when we talk about recomposition, whether it's like creatine, the swollen muscles, whether we go up and weight on the bench press and on the other chest exercises, so our chest gets bigger and we add on a couple of pounds of muscle, what we're really looking at is quite cleanly that figurative lowering of the body fat. So you actually get leaner and you actually add muscle. So this is a super, super focused stuff, okay? So it's difficult and we're going to get into specifics of diet and the changes that you're going to have to make to your lifestyle, if only temporarily, while you're recomping. But the trick here is really, and I'll do number one and number two very simply, you're going to need to change your training, and we're going to go into in-depth on that in a little bit, but you're 100% going to have to really focus down on your nutrition. It is proper recomposition of the kind that we like, easy? No, it's very simple. Steve covered it a little tiny bit yesterday when he said, what do pros do? And for the longest time, and it hasn't really changed too much in that regards, even with Instagram and the necessity of taking photographs constantly, being covered up, being uncovered, and so on and so forth. There's kind of three stages to any professional bodybuilder. And arguably, for you to recomp, you need to get some of their habits. So the three stages that pro bodybuilders still do is a heavy-duty / bulk off-season. In other words, adding muscle and just getting bigger and stronger, but not necessarily getting leaner. That's all relative, of course. It's kind of lean still because it freaks. Then completely tidying up the diet and increasing the cardio and just getting rid of that, what we call fluff now, when we're talking about people carrying any bit of fat around the obliques, off the lower stomach, and so on and so forth, because they didn't get properly out of shape. And then the difference between being lean and in competition shape is another level again. That's why we see three stages to their PED use, especially in terms of the long competition cycles. We'll see TRT and or bulking drugs used in the off-season, and so on and so forth. Now, for the average listener, I would hope that you're not on gear all year round. So the choices of the PEDs, which we're going to get into shortly, will be different from perhaps if a bulk, if you did a winter bulk, and we've talked about the heavier training and the compounds. There's a lot more polish coming in, kind of like a cut, Steve, in terms of, you know, bringing out those highlight muscles, the ones that really like pop and kind of transform the physique. But at the same time, we're going to, the suggestions and combinations we're going to suggest today from the Parapharma lineup are going to help you speed up your metabolism a little bit, clean up your diet, increase your cardio, get the stuff out there. And so you're literally using more energy than before, and not just popping those show muscles, not just adding muscle, but getting leaner. And it's one of those things that, Steve, anything that we do in life, it's always, the process should always be as simple as possible. Don't try to overcomplicate things. Recomping is kind of complicated insofar as that you are focusing or kind of half focusing on two things at once. So what you want there is you want a solid PED cycle that really, I mean, Steve, you could even do a two-stage yourself. We could talk about that. Never mind, even that might be the 8, 10, 12, or even 16-week cycle that you're going to do. There might be two stages to that cycle. This is why, for example, Steve, you can adjust on the fly if you need to. I'm not a big fan of that, but it's entirely possible when we're recomping. It's just that you're doing two things in one. In reality, when we're talking about recomposition, it tends to be both things at once. So we can look at it from both those angles. I'll let you come in on this one, Steve, and then we'll start to talk about injectables.
Yeah, so let's talk about the recomp first. You touched it, man. So let's get into some diet strategies when it comes to this. So, you know, I wrote down a bunch of ideas that I wanted to kind of talk about on this podcast, but it's very important to first understand that, you know, people out there, they do a lot of misguidance and lying. And Moxie kind of touched on that when it comes to social media. And the big thing that's been going on the past few years is you'll see guys go on there, post a bunch of these huge meals, fast food, junk food, cheeseburgers, fries, and all this stuff, ice cream, whatever. They'll be like, I eat 10,000 calories a day, and look how lean I am. I have an 8-pack. And they'll post that on there. And look, that is, it's called food porn, and it's clickbait, and it gets a lot of hits, you know? So, you know, and listen, they're lying. They're liars, you know? So they're, you can't go to someone and be like, yeah, you're going to recomp. You're going to go on anabolic steroids, and you're going to eat all this junk food and cheeseburgers and fries from restaurants and ice cream and all this crap and be successful with recomping. So it's very important to separate yourself from the BS. Now, we have seen some pro bodybuilders in the past who eat a lot of shit food. They'll say, hey, yeah, I ate a Big Mac, I ate McDonald's before my workout. And then they have these big bubble guts, you know? So, you know, so it's one of those things. They're on a bunch of steroids. They have excellent genetics. And they choose. It's kind of like a rich person who chooses, has all this money, and instead of using, you know, setting up charities and foundations to help others with the money, they use all that money for evil things, you know? It's the same thing. You have your body. You can either choose to put good things in your body, or you can choose to put in bad things in your body. So, yeah, Mobster, touch on that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've covered this on other shows, but I'll cover this again, and then I'll get into a bit more detail. I've said that some of the greatest, freakiest, genetic, enhanced, fortunate, whatever you want to call them, pro bodybuilders of all time, and I'm thinking specifically in the example that I've given before was Dexter Jackson, saying, I'm called the Blade. I have arguably, at the time when he was winning the Mr. Olympia, the 08, and competing very successfully, he says, I've arguably agreed by many other pros that I compete against some of the best genetics ever for being lean. And yet, I eat cleanly. I did not do if it fits your macros. Now, here's an argument that's been presented by Steve and I multiple times on podcasts and many, many, many times on the forums. And it goes thus, and it especially applies to recomposition. Let's imagine you've got semi-good genetics and you get away with eating a little bit of crap, or you literally have the same kind of food that you was having before, but just smaller portions. So you get a little bit leaner. You drop a few pounds on the scale. The results would be okay because you've dropped a few calories. How much better would the results be if your food was meal prepped by a meal prepping company? You had an in-house billionaire chef. Every single thing you ate was as organic as you could put and as close to nature as you could possibly get. It was all steamed. It wasn't boiled. It was all grilled. And all the fat was taken away. How much better would your fucking results be? when it comes to recomposition, that's almost a mentality for diet that you need to have, right, Steve? You need to be, in order for you to get the absolute best results, and in order for you to have the best recomposition that's possible, that the kind that's going to freak people out, the kind that's going to freak you out, the diet has got to be fucking anal. It really has. You cannot do the chocolate milk thing. You cannot go like the videos that Steve's referred to and eat everything, one portion of everything on this place or that place's menu. You can't even realistically do the whole, you know, cheap thing. And when I say cheap thing, I'm talking about cheesecake and fries and all the rest of that shit. The closest you're going to get to a cheap meal is doubling up on the portions of the healthy stuff that you're having. It really needs to be, in my mind, Steve, as close to perfect as you can possibly get it. That might mean, and this is just an insider trick and technique, that might mean you sticking an extra 20 or 30 bucks away a week for multiple weeks leading up to the recomposition, so that during the recomposition, you've got a few hundred extra bucks to spend on over and above what you'd normally spend, making sure that your diet is as on point and ready to rock and roll as possible. It might mean that you're filling up your freezer with lean steak, 5% mince, turkey mince over beef mince. It might mean, Steve's a big fan of this, organic eggs, organic chicken that you buy, and we've talked about this on shows before, getting all your fresh vegetables fresh almost daily, delivered from the grocer, getting stuff stockpiled ahead of time so that the diet, when it happens, there's no crap in the house. And I mean nothing. You got to get it. You literally, you can't even drive to get it. You got to make, like, I'm going to have to walk to get it. I'm going to have to do more cardio to go and get the shit. It's got to be that kind of focused diet quality. Now, one of the things that we encourage on the forums is people to put up their food. It's kind of food porn in and of itself, Steve, because we like to see what other people are doing and how they're managing it, and it's inspiring for... But you know, it also does, of course, is it keeps you honest. If you literally put down the three meals, four meals that you're having every single fucking day, and it's different from what you posted up yesterday, it's different from what you posted up the day before, and it looks like it's in your house from the same tablecloth, the same knife and fork as before, it's keeping you as on point and as honest as possible. We can see the portions that you're serving up for yourself. We can see the numbers that you're doing. The guys, and it's sometimes a pain in the ass when you're tired and you're recovering and you're doing the cardio and you're hitting the gym, to write this stuff up. But if you do write it up, you sat down and thought about what you're going to put down, and then you're putting it down, and it keeps you as goddamn honest and on point as possible. And then the coming in from that, and it's going to apply whether it's a family situation or a forum situation or your buddy down the gym situation or whatever else. When people can see what you're putting in your mouth and they can see the transformation that's happening, the reward, never mind the keeping you honest part, the reward, the feedback is, I'd rather you than me, motherfucker, but you're starting to look amazing. Keep at it, buddy, keep at it. That kind of vibe as well, Steve, it comes from that kind of feedback and it keeps you on point. And like I said, it's just going to be stupid stuff like, and I'll give you an example. I did this on, and I've done this in the past, when I've literally made sure that before a cut, before I want to get into shape, before a competition, I've literally eaten all the shit, all the biscuits, all the cakes, all the whatever. There's no jam. There's none of the, no crap in the house. If I want to eat it, I've got to get off my ass after my third or fourth meal of the day, and I've got to go get it from the supermarket to treat myself. And it's raining, it's cold, fuck walking now. I'll go with that. I'll wait till tomorrow. And it makes me stay on plan. Whether it's you sitting at a dining table with the wife and kids or whatever, or as I said, your gym buddies or whatever else, what's that? What's in your Tupperware tub? Let me see. Ah, good boy, good boy. On point. Like I said, it can actually be boring if you're not doing it for the rest of us looking in. But the reward is that you are going to look amazing. It doesn't have to be chicken and rice, fish and rice, chicken and rice. You can put seasonings in there. We encourage the use of fibrous vegetables and all this kind of stuff. We talk about food that can fill you up without actually giving you too many calories. And we do all this kind of information on the forums. But the absolute positive feedback you'll get from members on the forums, from listeners to this show, from people like Steve and myself, and like I said, from extended people at work and stuff like that. And ultimately, what is the big reward that's going to come at the end is that transformation, the losing of the fat, the dropping down of the collar size, the wrist size, the waist size especially, and the popping out of those cheekbones, abs for your holiday, whatever. And the result is worth the effort. And that's just on the diet side. I'll touch on the training as well. So something I hinted at yesterday, and we see a lot of this, right? And this is not for recomposition. It applies right across the board. And it applies to training, it applies to nutrition, it applies to PEDs. In some ways, because of the access to information, people kind of get lazy. And one of the things that I hear again and again and again, whether it's training or diet or cardio, whatever it is, they'll say, I haven't got the time. Yes, you have. You're lying. So there's this thing when it comes to, I'll give you an example, and Steve knows this, people will stay up and watch Netflix at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and then they'll only get 4, 5, 6 hours sleep because they've got to get up early the next day. They won't have breakfast, or they'll have a coffee with cream in for breakfast, or they'll whatever, and they won't get enough cardio in because their job involves driving a truck or sitting at a desk or standing behind a till in a supermarket and whatever else. And the only cardio they're getting is walking there, walking home, maybe. And I'll say things like, okay, go to bed early for the time that you're doing a recomposition. Get up 15 or 20 minutes early so you can prep a meal, or you can prep it the night before and have it when you get up. Equally, if you like to have no food in the morning, I know Steve's not a big fan of breakfast, go out and get your steps. Oh, it's cold out. Stick a coat on, motherfucker. Just go out for 20 minutes and walk 2 or 3 times around the block. When it's real quiet, people just walk in their dogs straight back into the house. Do what you got to do, hit the work, hit school, hit college, do whatever it is the fuck you do for the day to make a living. But you've got 15 or 20 minutes in the morning because you're taking it off the night time. You don't have to stay up, especially when it's doing a recomposition for the next 8, 9, 10 weeks, you're absolutely killing it. In terms of the body shaping stuff, and this specifically would normally apply for a cut, but recomposition, I would actually suggest it's going to be 50-50 in my mind, Steve. And it doesn't have to be 50-50 for every workout, because you want to build up the big muscles. You want to make sure that the greatest stimulus for growth is occurring. So that is still going to be squats and bench press and chins and press ups and whatever else. But equally, as the body fat comes down, you will start to see muscles there, but we want that pop. So for example, I might do the 50-50 in a workout. I might do 50-50 over the week. I might take 2 days out of, say, 2 on, 2 off, and then the weekend off again. I might do it this way, Steve. 2 days of compounds. So that's a big fuck off exercise like we already covered. And in 2 days of the week, concentrating on specifically those little show muscles. And show muscles would be the outer heads of the delts. So for example, lateral raises, it might be doing certain kickbacks just to get the triceps to pop out. It might be when you're training legs, focusing on the outer sweep or even the inner sweep, depending on the shape of your leg. It might be working your calves when you don't normally bother. It might be working forearms when you don't normally bother. And these little muscles, these little show muscles, the ones that give you that kind of bodybuilding-esque silhouette. And even things, like I said, when you're getting leaner, you don't have to work your abs, but now you're working your abs to flatten your stomach. It might be Rich Piana style, spending 15 minutes just before you go to bed, practicing vacuums of the night time. And look, let me do on the cardio as well. One more thing. Okay, so something else as well, and you can do this with the training too. You don't have to do the same goddamn cardio. I actually rotate some of my exercises, so I don't do the same leg workout every single time I train legs. And for recomposition, I'm going to be doing, let's say for argument's sake, here, Steve, an 8-week program, but it might actually be longer for you, the listener. Does it have to be walking? Does it have to be riding a bike? Does it have to be jogging? No, it could be rowing. It could be trail walking. It could be making sure, it could be using a step client, a step type device that you've got in your house. You've got those ones, cross trainer things. You've got the ones now, I forgot what they're called, Steve, with the cables, and you're kind of winding the whole body down like an ergometer. And you could rotate through those things. You could stop yourself getting bored, because especially towards the end of a recomposition, the idea that I've got to get on the steps, the stair machine, the treadmill or whatever, at the gym, and it's the same goddamn cardio all the time, mind numbing, and I'm getting towards the end of the cycle, I'm getting towards the end of my training, I'm diet stayed tight, but it's getting harder and harder and harder as I get leaner and leaner and leaner. There's less body fat for energy. I'm getting down to the point where I'm sub, not 10%, 9%, 8%. So that part of the prop training gets super, super hard. So I want something that I want to do when it comes to cardio. Training's almost easy by comparison, Steve, because you get a pump. because you can see what's happening in the mirror. But the cardio stuff can almost be depressing. So if I can rotate through things, one day on a rowing machine, another day on the bike, another day on the treadmill, that will stop that mind-numbing, bored stuff and the tedium. You've seen any professional bodybuilder when they're cutting for a competition on the Stairmaster, and they look like they're pulling stones up the side of an Egyptian pyramid, Steve, and someone's behind them with a whip. They do not look happy, but that's because they know that the Stairmaster is probably the most effective cardio they can do, and it's they're looking to win $100,000. But for the rest of us, I would rotate through cardio just so I can do something that I want to do. Steve goes out and gets his steps. I go out and get my steps. It's easy. You're out, you're in the fresh air, you're in nature. So that makes it easier. Choose something that you want to do and that you will stick with. And worse, just change it for something else as it gets harder to stick with. What about you on that one, Steve?
High intensity. If you mentioned time is an issue earlier. High intensity training, the beauty thing about high intensity training is you don't need a lot of time to really get a lot, do a lot of damage when it comes to burning calories and forcing your body to burn fat. Now, what you could do to double or triple the effects of high intensity is do it fasted. So this is why doesn't matter. You could be pro bodybuilder, Mr. Olympia champions, or you could be guys at the bottom. I've interviewed Mr. Olympia champions myself. I have interviewed coaches of Mr. Olympia champions on these podcasts. You guys can go back and take a look at some of the earlier episodes of evolutionary.org when we used to bring in some of these hardcore guests. And look, at the end of the day, they all implement fasted cardio, high intensity fasted cardio. So 10 or 15 minutes of high intensity fasted cardio is doubly, triply, quadruply more effective than going on the Stairmaster or the elliptical for an hour after you just had a cheeseburger, okay? Because the reason is because your body is already more likely to burn body fat for fuel than it is if you eat a meal beforehand. You get carbs, you get sugars in your body, and you go exercise, your body's going to tap into that stored glycogen from those meals. This is why when I used to compete as a powerlifter, Mobster knows this, we used to fast to make weight. We had to make weight, right? So we'd want to lose like 2, 3, 4 pounds leading up to the competition. Then we'd weigh in, and then we'd eat like a candy bar or a banana or even pancakes with syrup just to restore those glycogen levels to bring back the strength. Now, if you don't restore the glycogen levels, then you try to work out. You try to, you know, do a max rep out during your meet. You're not going to be as strong, you see? So we would basically, and that would work for us because our bodies would tap into those glycogen stores when it comes to strength. So keep in mind, if you do fasted training, fasted cardio, it's normal for you to be less strong, but that's okay. Again, we are recomping here. You've got to adjust your training for what you're trying to accomplish. We're not trying to get stronger. We are trying to recomp. So it's okay to go into a workout, even weight training, not just cardio, but even weight training while fasted. And it actually works really good because now your body is forced to use those excess body fat that they would have never used for energy. It absolutely matters. And timing of food matters. Time-restricted eating matters, all right? It's not just all about calories in, calories out. Everything that you do during the day affects how your body uses energy. So if you eat in a time-restricted window, whether it be 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, that is going to be more optimal than eating in a 12 or 16 hour window like most Americans do. And it's basically a struggle to lose weight because your body is storing more fat throughout the day than it's burning fat. So of course, you're just going to spin your wheels. Again, we are recomping here. That is a strategy to this. When it comes to anabolic steroids, it's in your favor to burn more fat and burn more calories than you're taking in and not have to worry, oh my God, I'm going to lose my muscle. Again, we are on anabolic steroids when we're doing this recomp. So you don't have to worry about losing muscle. So focus when it comes to your cardio and your exercise, I want to burn fat. When it comes to your diet, I want to burn fat. And then the muscle gain will come, because even with your diet, you're still eating quality foods. As Mobster mentioned earlier, you're still getting your proteins, your carbs, and your good fats, and good proteins and good carbs, by the way. Not just good fats, but good protein and good carbs is also important. There's a difference between eating a sandwich with processed meat and bacon and sausage and all these processed meats and eating some organ or some bone broth or a good fatty piece of chicken or grass-fed beef or high-quality eggs. Not just organic eggs, because it could be organic eggs and be low-quality eggs, but it has to be pasture-raised, humane-friendly eggs. In America, you look for the humane-friendly stamp. I don't know how it is in Britain. I'm sure your standards are way higher than America, regardless, Mobster. But the EU has very strict rules on the diet. But if you're in America, you don't. Our Australian friends on the forums eat a much healthier diet than our American friends. Why? Because the Australians eat a more natural diet. Americans, you always see them post up a log and they post what they're eating and it's all processed junk, like 90% processed junk. You're like, dude, no wonder you can't get any results. So cleaning up your diet is so fucking important, number one, when you want to cut body fat and especially when you want to recomp. Because if you're not going to fix your diet, it's going to be a struggle and you're just not going to succeed and you're going to waste your time. So touch on that, Mobster, and let's get into the different steroids that we recommend for parafarmer. Touch on it really quick, buddy. Really quick.
Yeah, the only thing I was thinking of, Steve, and this applies more to the youngsters and those of you that are perhaps on not quite as much disposable income. How many times, Steve, we've seen people talk about getting their protein from the deli, and we've had to talk to them about nitrates and processed foods, specifically the salamis and other bits and pieces. Guys, I say this again and again and again. The value of you investing in proper food, whether that's a tray of chicken breast that's not been soaked in salted water, had saline injected into it, or whatever else, it can look different. The quality eggs, like Steve said, the difference between eggs that are rated and ones that you know you've seen the chickens eating the proper seed in the grass and they're outside the free range versus cage, all that kind of stuff. And again and again and again. And I know sometimes as college students, you haven't got a lot of money. I'm like, go and get a part-time job, motherfucker. Earn the 50 or 100 bucks extra a week and spend it on the quality food and your results will be better. It's just as simple as that. Sometimes it's a little bit boring. We've got ideas and come on the forum again to spice things up. Put some color into your food. Make sure that your gut health is on point, et cetera, and your results will be better. It's no more or less complicated than that, guys. You want the best results of the time and energy that you've invested? Follow these tips. As you said, Steve, let's talk about the other injectables that Parapharma offers that would be great in a recomposition. I'll let you start off.
Parapharma, the first one we're talking about is Parapharma Boldo / Test 400. This is a very simple stack. It's 50% or 200 milligrams of the equipoise, 50% or 200 milligrams of the testosterone E. Now, these are both long esters. You want to inject it once or twice a week, max. There's no need to inject it more. This is good for those of you who want to recomp with testosterone. You like testosterone. The extra estrogen benefits you. You know, we had I was looking on the forums this morning. We had a thread where guys were going over. They're like, one guy was like, well, MPP, I get horny on MPP. The other guy was like, oh, MPP kills my libido. The other guy was like, oh, Masteron and Proviron help my libido. No, the other person was like, no, when I use these AIs, they hurt my libido. It's all, everybody's different, okay, when it comes to how we react to these steroids. It has to do with estrogen, it has to do with DHT, and it has to do with androgens. So some of you are going to react good when it comes to a recomp. Some of you will run testosterone and you'll have good recomping effects. You'll burn body fat and you'll gain lean muscle mass. And some of you won't. Some of you won't react well to testosterone. Some of you won't react well to those extra androgens and that extra estrogen. So you want to know your body. So if you are a good reactor to testosterone already, you don't mind the extra appetite increase. You're like, I embrace the appetite increase. I'll eat healthy foods and embrace it. And I've actually done a cycle like this. Similarly, I ran testosterone and equipoise. My appetite did go up, but I ate healthy. You know what I invested in? I bought a big 5-pound thing online of raw almonds in the shell, and I got 5 pounds of organic cashews, and I got them delivered. And I said, you know what? My appetite's up. If I'm going to sit and watch the show with my girlfriend in the evening, or the late afternoon when she comes home from work, we watch like an hour of TV, I get the munchies, right? But instead of eating junk food, like other people will, ice cream and all this other crap that people eat, I'll snack on these nuts. These nuts will give me good protein and give me good fats that my body wants and needs. So I'm getting the benefits. And during that, I actually was able to cut a little bit. I was getting compliments from people like, oh, you look leaner, you look leaner. And I was like, really? So I was actually able to lean up on tests and equipoise. That's interesting. So really, it depends on how you react to these things and your lifestyles and your strategy. Some of you will. So in that case, I would run 400 milligrams of each, and then you could throw in a little bit of the Parapharma Aromasin, which will give you a little AI. You want to control the AI. That equipoise won't throw off your estrogen, but the testosterone will at that dose. So that works for those of you. But if you're not a good reactor to testosterone, when it comes to recomping and appetite is going to make you eat garbage food, then don't mess with it. The next one I'll touch on, Monster, before you bring you in, is the Parapharma Boldo 300 and Boldo 500. And these are equipoise options. The first one is 300 milligram per milliliter. So 1 cc is 300 milligram. The second one is 500 milligram a milliliter. Wow, that is a lot. Now, that's perfect for those of you who don't want to inject very often. So if you're using the Boldo 500, you can just pin 1 cc a week, once a week, or every 10 days even, and you get a lot of equipoise in your system. Now, equipoise is a great steroid because it won't mess with your appetite very much. Maybe a little bit. Now, some people have said it increases your appetite a lot, but I don't know. I'm skeptical. This is a lot of times people parrot stuff, right? But it is normal for equipoise to increase your appetite just a little bit. It's normal. Remember, it's an anabolic steroid. You're using it at a good dose, but it is a mild steroid, so you can be flexible with it. But here's where equipoise is great, Monster. Endurance. You can use equipoise and do a lot of cardio, and it will actually benefit your cardio. It's one of the few anabolic steroids that will do the good things when it comes to your cardio, like raise red blood cell,
yeah,
and do the other things, break down these other barriers, you know, like binding SHBG and boosting protein synthesis and all that good stuff. But it also won't have negative implications on your cardio. Like it won't speed up your heart rate like a crazy amount. It won't increase water retention. Why would you want to go running carrying gallons of water on your back? Of course, you're going to have low energy when you do that, right? So there's different things. It's not going to give you pumps. Why would you want to go run or do a lot of cardio or swimming or go bicycling or go hiking and have your lower legs or your lower back lock up from spasms? Why? So equipoise is good for those of you out there who want to do the recomp and you want to use a lot of high intensity training and a lot of cardio on your cycle. Equipoise would be perfect. Go ahead, Monster.
Yeah, I just made some notes here, Steve. In terms of people's response, is what we sometimes forget is the individual concern, say member A and member B are in different condition when they start their cycles. So someone might be fatter and someone might be leaner. The leaner person, all things being equal, should get a better response to certain particular PDs versus the person that's having a bit of fat. When it comes to any product, and I do love Parapharma, my choice would be for the 300 over the 500, purely and simply because the higher you get, especially when it's 400, 450, and 500 milligrams a mil, the chances are, ignoring even the fact that you're using a high-quality product like Parapharma, the chances are that you're more likely to have post-injection pain. But like Steve says, the choices are there because customers ask for these things. And like Steve said again, it just means less pinning. So if you're okay and you don't mind dealing with the possibility of post-injection pain, and you know that that's all it is because of the volume of milligrams of the product per milliliter, then you have that particular choice. And again, like Steve said again, I EQ, uptake and oxygen, Steve, that's just going to make it easy to do cardio, like you said, with the red blood cell count. On to the next choices. Parapharma do a Masteron propionate, which is 100, and an enanthate, which is 200. These are hardening drugs, and they're going to work better as you get leaner. So keep that in mind. When we have people that are 12, 14, 15% talking about Masteron and it's not working for me, motherfucker, it's working just fine. It's just you haven't got lean enough to see the positive results from that. On to the next two here, Steve. A Primo 100 and a Primo 200. Now, we know just how fabulous, especially back in the day when the golden age, they never really got out of shape. And it's one of those things, and again, people talk about Primo because the options weren't available with the testosterones, etc. But the reality was that the classic age, the golden age, you didn't see great big bellies sticking out. You didn't even see the growth hormone guts. And so the shape and just needing to drop a few pounds was always a big deal. Talk about Primo, Steve, before we talk about the next couple of options.
Yeah, so really quick, too, on the Masteron, hardener. As one officer said, you want to be ideally less than 11% body fat. Lower body fat, the better. But it's a great hardening effect. Primo, look, you know, like you said, golden age of bodybuilding. Arnold loved Primo. It's really good for building lean muscle mass.
Yes.
A lot of people like it because it doesn't fuck with you. It doesn't cause the side effects. It doesn't fuck with your sleep. It doesn't fuck with your appetite. So you can really tighten things up. And you'll still get good effects. It's not going to give you like any effects that are going to blow you away. You know, we talked about trend on a previous episode.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to be blown away with a recomp, then you go with trend. But there's disadvantages to using trend. Primo's the opposite. Primo, there's much less health risk with using Primo. And you'll get way less results. Like, you're not going to shred up like crazy on Primo. And you're not going to build a shit ton of strength and muscle on Primo. But you'll get a little bit of muscle increase and you'll get a little bit of recomping action when it comes to fat loss on Primo. So that's how it goes. I've heard so much bro science over the years on Primo. It's been around since the 70s. So of course, they had bro science. I've heard people say, oh, you need a ton of protein on Primo. I've heard people say you need to run Primo at least 16 weeks. And I've heard people say you need to run, oh, Primo, you can run it 2 weeks and then come off. So there's so much bro science on it. Look, at the end of the day, look, 10 to 12 weeks on Primo, 400 to 600 milligrams a week.
That's and it's fine. Just not going to be as crazy, as you said, as Trent. But you know that going in. So that's why a lot of people prefer it. And again, it's how out of shape he was to begin with, Steve.
Yeah, and then you can run a little bit of trend with Primo. You can run a trend with Masteron. It's really good. A lot of people like to use Masteron with trend. So, you know, a cliched way to do the Masteron with the trend would be if you're going to run the Masteron propionate, you want to run the trend acetate with it. So you're doing two short esters, you mix them up in the same syringe. And if you want to do the Masteron enanthate, you can do the trend enanthate. But again, that's not necessarily going to be necessary. It's just easier because you can pin on the same schedule, you can pin them together in the same syringe, yada, yada, yada. But you don't have to. You can do a short ester with a long ester. There's no rule to that. It's not like it's going to affect anything, but it just makes it easier. So maybe you don't forget to pin or stuff like that. So if you're going to do the Masteron with trend, you know, we're talking about, you know, I would do like 250 of the trend, and then you could do like 350, 400 of the Masteron, maybe even 500. You could double up the Masteron dose over the trend. Some people like to go down that route. So that would be an option for a really good recomp if you want to include trend. If you don't want to include trend, you could do the Masteron with some testosterone, or you could do the Masteron with some Primo, or with some Equipoise wouldn't be a bad cycle either. So there's no ways to mix and match these steroids that are really interesting. But if, again, if you're over 11%, don't even bother with the Masteron. Go with the Primo. Like, you could be 18 or 20% and you would be safe doing the Primo. It's not gonna be a waste of your time. But if you're 18, 20%, don't waste your time with Masteron. Because if you're hardening up muscle that's covered up by fat, how does that make any sense, Mobster? Makes no sense. So
you're just not gonna see the results of the hard work that you've put in and the bucks that you spent with Parapharma invested on a cycle. I want to control the variables and I want the best results. What the next product, which I would say, I'm not going to say it's arguable for the more advanced lifter. It just became a big thing, like we discussed in show one, when Trent appeared on the scene in the 90s, and at the same time, and the transformation from the classic golden age to the freaks was when insulin and growth hormone really said. We know that combining growth hormone with a steroid cycle seems to have a better result than if you just do the steroids or growth hormones separately. And Parapharma do a paratropin, which is 100 IUs in a kit, solid product, as we've just talked about. And again, this is going to be one of those things where there will be a back and forth in terms of the debates for the dosing. I typically recommend, and I think this would be the case for most people, the longer you can run growth hormone, the better. It doesn't mean you won't get good results or any results over a short period of time, but just the longer you run it, and again, this might apply for a 12 or 16-week cycle, perhaps over an 8-week cycle or 10-week cycle, the better the results will be. In combination with steroid cycles and other PEDs, you're going to get better results. The two things together, the synergy, seems to work better than individually, as I just said. And then it's going to come down to the daily dosing. I think, Steve, typically when we're talking about someone using growth hormone long-term and not necessarily for recomposition, the equivalent of five IUs every other day, so 2.5 IUs a day, seems to be the one that's going to negate any side effects like carpal tunnel and so on and so forth, versus perhaps, and I've seen this suggested, Steve, 4 IUs and up to 8 IUs a day for shorter periods of time for those people that are looking to get into shape and specifically for recomposition. So what do you think about the dosing there, Steve, before we get into the last couple of options?
Yeah, so with HGH, look, this is high-quality HGH here from Parapharma. So if you run too much, and I've had clients that have come to me, they say, Steve, you know, I told them not to do this much, and they went and did it anyway, okay? Because, again, they read the bullshit, okay? They read the wrong shit online. They're running 4 IUs, even 3 IUs even. And they're like, Steve, I got carpal tunnel symptoms. I said, yeah, because you're running too much, okay? Back in the old days, you know, back in mobster's time, you buy HGH, you got to double up, triple up the dose because you were getting such bad quality HGH. So you have to run 5 or 6 IUs a day to get 2 IUs or 1 IU even. But now that's not the case with Parapharma. If you run 2 IUs, you're getting 2 IUs. So if you want to be a smart ass and run too much HGH, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to get side effects. You're going to get the negative side effects that come with HGH, the rise in insulin resistance, the carpal tunnel, even water retention, even other problems that you know, let's not even get into some other problems that can be caused with too much HGH. I mean, you can fire up cells in your body that you don't want to be fired up, you know? So there's a lot of different things that can happen. So keep the dose suitable. 1.5 to 2 IUs is all you need. And look, you can run the HGH by itself. That's fine. But you want to give it a solid 2, 3, 4 months to really start seeing those fat loss benefits. All right. And effectively, the ideal way to use it would be to get on the HGH for like a couple months and then run your steroid cycle. This way, by the time you get on your steroid cycle, you have already been on the HGH for a couple months. Your body will have it. And you can kind of time the HGH before you break your fast. Remember, HGH is throughout your body. It's pulsing. It's pulsing. It's not like hormones, okay? Where hormones, you want the hormones to be in your system 24/7, obviously, right? And they're going to do things even when you're sleeping, even when you're not training, even when you're sitting and watching TV. It's still going to do things in your system. HGH is different. HGH is a pulse. So you get a pulse, and then it drops. A pulse, and then it drops. When you're fasting, HGH will continuously rise in the body. So it makes sense to use the HGH, and listen to me very closely, before you break your fast. So before your first meal of the day, go ahead and use the HGH, then eat your meal 30 minutes later. So ideally, fast, do your training, then take your HGH, then eat within 30 minutes. That would be the most ideal way, because as when you break your fast, your HGH is going to crash back down. And then you're taking the HGH, and the HGH that you're injecting exogenously is going to kick in. So you'll have an extra pulse of HGH that you wouldn't have had before. You see? So that's where the power of HGH comes in. So use HGH to your advantage and time it correctly. Now, what can you stack it with? Any of these steroids that we've talked about. And any of the steroids we talked about on the last episode, whether it be orals or the tren or anything else, you can use HGH. And I highly recommend you do. Just don't use too much. Now, professionals, they're going to run more. That's fine. That's their business. You guys are listening to this. You're trying to recomp. This isn't, we're not doing the podcast on how to win, you know, the regional championship here. We're doing a podcast on recomping. So this is the way it needs to be done. There's no need. It's counterproductive to run ACH too high, in my opinion. The next one, Mobster, is Winstrol. And Winstrol, look, it's a dryer. We talked about it in the last show when it comes to orals. This is the injectable. Each milliliter is going to be, each cc is going to be 50 milligrams. So with Winstrol, you can inject it sub-Q. You don't have to inject it IM. And at the end of the day, you know, this is an option for those of you who don't want to use an oral. And a lot of you are dead set against orals. Okay. You don't want to use an oral. They're like, oh, you can't use oral-only cycles. Okay. What about Winstrol injectables? Is that okay? It's an injectable, right? So in that case, that would be perfect for you. I'm personally, I think that's stupid. I think you should just use the tablets of Winstrol. It's the same thing. It's going to have the same effects on your liver. It's going to have the same side effects and everything, except you're going to be injecting it, and you could have post-injection pain. So I think it's stupid to use the injectable version, personally. All right? And you don't want to mix it either, because you shouldn't be mixing or water-based steroids with oil-based steroids. I've done it before. Don't do it. It's stupid. You'll get issues doing it. Trust me. So that's the way I would do it. And then testosterone, of course. And I'll let you, Mobster, touch on a little bit on Winstrol and testosterone if you want. But Paraforma, they have testosterone. All the testosterones you can dream of. The propionate, the enanthate, the cypionate. They got it all. They got the blends. They got the Sustanon blend. So many different options. So if you're a good responder to testosterone, or you want to use testosterone as a base, Parapharma has you covered. I would not run more than 150 milligrams of testosterone during a recomp. But as I said earlier, some of you can run testosterone higher, 200, 300, 400, even 500 with an AI if you're going to go on a higher dosing. And you'll have good results with testosterone when it comes to recomp. So, Mobster, we have a few minutes left. You want to touch on Winstrol and testosterone a little bit and then take us?
A little bit. Parapharma's got a bunch of testosterone options for those of you that respond well with cypionate, propionate, and amphate. They've got a test propionate 100. They've got a testo and amphate, which is a 400, and so on and so forth. Right. And again, we've discussed this in the last show where we talked about those of you that respond well to test versus myself, for example, that doesn't. Winstrol very quickly, and this is, I think, actually more of an issue with a recomp than it normally would be. And that is quite simply, as you get leaner, as you get drier, the side effects of Winstrol are going to rear the ugly head more. And that is a drying out of the joints. And again, that's going to make cardio tougher and so on and so forth. Steve talked about the nut thing earlier on. So the healthy fats and the healthy oils, which will help a little bit as well. Staying hydrated is going to help too. Keep that in mind. If I'm going to finish off, Steve, it's really going to be going back to the kind of message that I like to do with any of these kind of shows. And that is that, again, and I touched on this earlier, the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. How hard recomposition is, especially for some people, don't be out of condition when you start the cycle. Get into shape. Start cleaning up your diet right motherfucking now. Even if that's the recomposition snuggles, not break weeks, I want you to start your shit now. I want your cardio to get better now. Your diet to get better now. Your training to start become more polished now. So that when you get into the cycle, you're not chiseling off 20 pounds of fat. You're only knocking off 10 pounds of fat. Get the best results you possibly can. It's going to come down to the time, the effort, the money spent on nutrition, the money spent on the supplements, and the money spent on your cycle. And I would want to get my money's worth, Steve. I don't want to do an 8, 10, 12, 16-week cycle, recomping the whole goddamn time, and have mediocre results at the end. I want to look absolutely fucking amazing. I want to blow my own mind because I haven't seen my body for weeks or something. I haven't looked at the photographs. I haven't looked at that picture that I took right at the beginning. Oh, my God. I hadn't noticed it until I looked at that photograph. Jesus fucking Christ. And other people looking around you, the same thing. And especially if you're doing it for a modeling gig or a holiday or competition, you will get the best results possible if your food's on point, your training's on point, your PEDs have come from a source like Parapharma, and you work your motherfucking ass off. And we want you to have those results. Let us know what you think in the comments. What are your thoughts on recomposition? How would you cycle Parapharma products? We're interested in knowing. Please note, we are not doctors and opinions. Ours is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment.